Okay, Andrew, you got it going back there? It's recording? Okay, let me check my notes. Yes, dear. That was a total setup. It's to give an example of being impatient, okay? She's never impatient with me. That's the right thing to say. Okay. All of us can be impatient. It's not a matter of, if we get impatient. It's a matter of what makes us impatient. We could be totally fine in certain situations. It's an amazing thing, right? We're totally fine. We're being patient in certain contexts. But there are just other things that's like, we're just tense and we lose our patience. It just happens. In some cultures, we've experienced living in another culture. A lot of you know this. Things just happen more slowly. So for 10 of our 14 and a half years as vocational missionaries, it was in Latin America, things happen more slowly in Latin America. We had to get used to that. They just would happen as they would happen when they were ready. And I'm sure that some of you couldn't handle that, living in Latin America. You think to yourself, yeah, there's no way that I could just, wait and wonder and wonder and wonder. Maybe this morning, you along with me can think about what are the things that make you impatient. What are those triggers? What are those little buttons that get pushed when it comes to not having patience? Because this morning, as we finish up our series on how we should be, we are going to end with, we should be patient. So by now, most of you know that when it comes to the verse that this is based on, it's Colossians 3:12. Paul says, so as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And so our series has been on these things. We should be compassionate, kind, humble, gentle. And now this last one for this week, patient. And if anybody has missed out on any of those series, they're up on our church's website. So this morning, this is where we end. We should be patient. And as we start out, we're going to begin by talking about the patience we all need. As we think about the patience that we all need, if you're wondering what that means, if you think you know what that means, I'm actually guessing that most of you would be wrong. When I say all, the patience we all need, I actually mean we all, as in the human race. What we all need, every single person alive needs God's patience. And that's because every person is born with being a sinner. Every person is born without being a believer in Christ. And so people are equally lost, and that means that we have to have God patient with us while we learn about the gospel until the point that we can place our faith in Christ and be saved. So the first thing that we're going to look at, the first verse we're going to look at concerning God's patience, it might be kind of unexpected. It's as simple as this. 1 Corinthians 13:4, love is patient. What does the Apostle John say in 1 John chapter 4? God is love. God is love. Love is patient. That's why we can say that God is patient with all of us. God is love. Love is patient. Therefore, God is patient. Paul specifically wrote about God the Son, the Lord Jesus, being patient with him. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. So that's 1 Timothy 1:16 in the New International Version. So you know Paul's testimony. You know how he persecuted the church horribly. You know how he also got saved wonderfully. And Paul tells Timothy, Christ Jesus displayed his immense patience with me. In other words, how long it took for Paul to come to salvation, in order that Paul would serve as an example to others. So in other words, those people would think, if the Lord was that patient with Paul, the one who was persecuting the church, surely he then has been patient with me. And patience, from God is what we all need, right? We need God's patience, especially till we get to the point of receiving Christ and being saved. We're going to reinforce this connection between God's patience and salvation in one other place. Toward the end of his life, here's what the Apostle Peter wrote, 2 Peter 3, verse 9, then jumping to verse 15. This is also in the NIV. Peter says, "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation." So God is patient with mankind, and it's a patience that we all need. He doesn't want anybody to perish in hell, but for everyone to come to repentance, to accept the Lord Jesus as their Savior. The Lord's patience with people means salvation, and this is salvation for those who will respond to the gospel and receive Christ. By the way, did you notice there where there's the connection between patience and salvation? Did you notice that it says patient with you? Now, I believe that Peter was writing believers. So in the context of salvation, in what sense was God being patient with the believers? I think the answer lies in that believers are the ones who should be sharing the gospel, right? We use scripture to interpret scripture. So we know that for God's part, he calls someone to salvation. We know that God is the one from Ephesians 2. He gives the capacity for faith. But if you look throughout all the Bible, he never presents it in the way that he works. It's never all God. He never puts it all on us. It's the idea that we are supposed to be working with him in his plan. We follow his lead. So God's patience then concerning salvation is twofold. There's a patience for non-believers, as in time he awaits their response to the gospel. But then there's also patience for us believers, as God expects us to be living and sharing out the gospel. Does that make sense? That's the patience we all need. We're going to briefly look at the patience we have. In this case, the "we" is now referring to Christians. We Christians, we do have patience. We really do. And the way that we know about this is the same way that we knew about things last week, that we do indeed have gentleness. It's because the Lord has supernaturally planted the seed of patience inside of us when we became born again. So once again, I'm talking about the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, and we'll stop there just to kind of emphasize that. So there it is from Galatians 5:22. When you have fruit or fruits in the Bible and it's being used poetically, usually it refers to results. So a result of having the Holy Spirit abiding in us is to have the things that are listed in Galatians 5:22 and 23, albeit in seed form. So God gets us started. He supernaturally plants that seed in us, and then we have to work with him to have those things grow in our lives. So God is patient. He plants the seed of patience inside of us when we receive Christ. That is the patience we have. So before I move on then to our last point, I'm going to pause here and explain what is the meaning behind the word patience. What's the meaning behind that New Testament word? So our Pew Bible is the New American Standard. It's also what I preach from. They translate a form of a certain New Testament word with consistency. So in the New American Standard, you'll see that word translated consistently as patience or patient or patiently. And all of those are a form of one New Testament word. But I noticed that as I was preparing that there's another New Testament word that some Bibles translate as patience or patient. And I want to explain the difference between those two. So we're going to do that with some graphics. So here's the first picture. The New Testament word there for patience means to stay under or to remain under. The idea of that word for patience is that someone, it's like they have a huge weight on them. When you look at that picture, you could think of an expression that even we use today where someone feels like they're carrying the world on their shoulders, right? So that word in the New Testament refers to a burden that weighs them down. It's a challenge. Now, the New American Standard tends to translate that word as perseverance or endurance. So a person is staying under that weight. They remain there even though it's difficult. And you will have some Bibles that will translate that New Testament word as patience. But that's not the word that really that we're looking at this morning. The word that all the passages I'm going to show you that they're all built around is something different. So let's go ahead and look at the graphics that do relate to this New Testament word that we're looking at and the forms of it that we're looking at this morning. So here you see a picture of a bomb, and this is a bomb that's about to go off. So this is a person that has a short fuse, right? We use that expression with somebody, that they have a short fuse, and you notice that the fuse is burning down, and the look on their face, and once that fuse burns down all the way, boom, and the bomb goes off, then the emotions come out. This is the picture that we want to have in our mind for the word on patience that we're studying this morning. The idea in the New Testament is that a person has a long fuse. Patience is having a long fuse. We don't see any burning down. We don't see that spark. There's a happy look on this little bomb's face. They have patience. They have a long fuse. Now, you're laughing, but I know that it's effective, too, because it means that you're getting it. In Colossians 3:2, that's our series verse. The New American Standard has patience there. The King James and the New King James have long suffering. And actually, long suffering is closer to a more literal rendering of this New Testament word. So we would say long suffering, or even better yet, long tempered is the idea. But instead of saying long tempered, I'm kind of bringing it up to date with something that we can see visually. And so it's the idea of having a long fuse. If we are patient in this way, it takes a long time for us to get riled up. Does that help? Okay. So now when we go back to this idea of the patience that we have, this is the patience with that visual that you just saw. Supernaturally, we have planted in us the seed of a long fuse. So now then, keep that mental picture in mind, this long fuse, as we go into our last section, which is going to be the patience we all need to have. And again, when we say we, this time we are referring to we believers. This is for people who have received Christ into our lives. The patience that we all need to have is a patience that's well developed. It's that seed in us that's now grown, that it's now grown into something bigger and better. And the reason that we need to have that grown to be more fully developed is because in our lives, we will come into a multitude of situations where patience should be used. No surprise there, right? Let's think about this idea then of developing our long fuse patience. We're going to go back to Colossians 3:12, our series verse. But before we do that, we're actually going to look at Colossians chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. Paul's in the midst, in the beginning of Colossians, of telling how he and his team have been praying for the Colossian believers. And in the midst of that, he says this, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. So that was in the NIV. So endurance, that's the remaining underword that you saw. That was with that big heavy weight. So there you have it being translated as endurance, or perseverance would be another way that you could do it. And then that second one, the patience there, that's the long fuse word. So Paul's praying, he and his team are praying that they might have great endurance and patience. And the way that that's worded, it's like it was a goal to obtain, right? It's like an end point that you get to. Can you see that? So now, when we get to later in Colossians with Colossians 3, and Paul says, put on, put on patience. We've said that that means the wording for put on or clothe yourselves. It means to identify our lives. We're to identify ourselves with patience. We're to identify our own lives with patience so that others, as they look at us, that will be known for having patience. But as we've acknowledged before, this idea of putting on for all the things that gets mentioned in this verse, it takes work. It takes effort. It's cooperating with God's Spirit so that those things can grow and develop. And I started thinking about the fact that in Colossians 1, those verses that we showed, it's interesting that he puts it at the end. This patience is at the end. We said that it was like an end goal. And then here, I thought this is also interesting because it's the last thing that he mentions. And so I kind of wondered to myself, maybe we'll be able to ask Paul this someday. I wonder if it was that Paul was subtly communicating, he knows that patience is hard to obtain. But we do need to try to put forth effort. We do try to do this as best as we can. So where are we to then end up using long fuse patience? One place that we're going to mention is with fellow believers. With fellow believers, I have to be patient with my brother or sister in Christ. Here's a verse that we saw earlier just before this series. We were finishing up 1 Thessalonians. Here's what we saw in 1 Thessalonians 5:14 in the New Living Translation. Be patient with everyone. Be patient with everyone. But that's not all the verse, is it? Brothers and sisters, fellow Christians, we urge you to warn those who are lazy, encourage those who are timid, take tender care of those who are weak. So in the context here of being long-fused, Paul's talking about various kinds of people that could try our patience. He was talking about fellow Christians in this young Colossian congregation. We're going to go ahead and reinforce this idea of being patient with fellow believers. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2 in the NIV. Be completely humble in Paul and gentle, Paul tells them. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Bearing with one another in love. The New English Translation puts it more blatantly. Putting up with one another in love. Bearing with one another, I can barely bear that brother. And sometimes it feels like that, right? Sometimes it does feel like that. But bearing up with or putting up with a brother or a sister in the Lord is part of what helps us to develop that long fuse. Let's look at one more down-to-earth place. Take a look at the Christian Standard Bible's wording for 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Correct. Rebuke. Encourage. Is that the whole verse? No. With great patience and teaching. So preaching the gospel and teaching God's word requires great patience with little kids, with teens, with adults, with both Christians and non-Christians. Yep. The answer is yes. We need great patience. And maybe during our luncheon, you can think about this idea of these different age groups. How is it that in a church setting with these different ages, what are the different ways that we need great patience with each of those age groups? Developing a long fuse takes great effort. It can certainly be related to perseverance. It could certainly be related to endurance. And it may be one of the most difficult things for us to develop. But it makes congregational life a whole lot easier. You're supposed to smile warmly at that. You need a little bit more convincing on why we should be patient. Our last scripture references have to do with that. In Hebrews chapter 6, we have this tricky beginning, difficult to interpret, beginning of Hebrews chapter 6. But then the author says this in verse 12. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what is promised. So that's the wording in the New International Version. Why be patient? Because what God has promised will come to the patient. And then shortly after that, using Abraham as an example, the author says a few verses later, and so, after waiting patiently, Abraham received what he was promised. Another reason why it is good to develop patience is in the oldest letter of the New Testament, so that would be the book of James. James 5 says the following in verses 7 and 8, and then we'll jump to verse 10. This is a lot of text, a lot of words, but it's worth it. James says, therefore, be patient, brothers and sisters, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil, being patient about it until he gets the early and late rains. You too, be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. As an example, brothers and sisters, of suffering and patience, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. So there are two very practical reasons in those verses that we should develop our patience. One is that patience, having a long fuse, is needed while we await the Lord's second coming. We were even singing this morning about that coming. We need patience. We need that long fuse while we await that coming. We know in other places that we've studied in Scripture, in the somewhat recent past, we studied the Gospel of Mark, and then more recently, the book of 1 Thessalonians. Things are going to get bad as the time of the Lord's return gets closer. And being patient will help us get through those bad times. The second reason that's up there that you see is that James mentions suffering. Patience will help us in the midst of our suffering. And he says, look to God's prophets as examples. The idea there is seeing the examples of others and how they deal with their suffering can help us as we're going through our suffering. Or you can kind of flip that and you can say, others seeing how we're dealing with our suffering will help them deal with theirs. And that connects to the last verse that we're going to show. Toward the end of his life, Paul wrote this to Timothy. This is written in the International Standard Version. But you have observed my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, my faith, my patience, my love, my endurance, he says to Timothy. So one of the things that Timothy knew about Paul was his patience, that he had a long fuse. And this is because of being with Paul. It was because of observing Paul. And the truth is that people also observe us. And so a great reason for us to grow in this area of our patience is because people are watching, because they are. If we show patience in the midst of our suffering, if we show patience in the midst of our difficult situations, this is going to make the transformation that God is slowly doing in us. It's going to make it more visible. It's going to make it more authentic to others. What's our main thought for this morning? God has a long fuse, especially concerning people's salvation. If we can develop a long fuse, it will help us in a multitude of ways. A lot of the things that we've talked about coming out of Colossians 3:12 in this series are very countercultural. They go against the flow of the way our culture is right now. So we've tried to say that every one of those things that we mentioned is going to stand out. So here's that list one more time. Let's go ahead and all say this together. We should be compassionate, kind, humble, gentle, patient. Amen? Okay, let's close this part of our service and pray. Father God, we ask that you would search our hearts. There may be some here this morning that do not have that seed of patience planted in them yet because they've not received the Lord Jesus. And I pray, Father God, that you'll continue to work in them and to call them and to open their eyes to the greatness of you and your plan for the ages and how each of us has a part in that. I pray, Father God, that for all of us that would say, yes, I have received Christ, that we would take heart and to say, you've planted the things of Galatians 5, 22 and 23 inside of us, and so we're not trying to invent it on our own. We're not trying to draw it up out of nothing. You've put those things there, and then help us, Father, in all these different ways to cooperate with your Spirit so that we could see those things grow and mature and develop. And this morning, Father God, we think about this idea of having long fuse patience. We admit that there are many things. We've talked about people that could be ill right now with colds and flus and COVID and all the rest, daily things that they're going through. We know, Father, from personal experience that our fuses can be short because of how we're doing physically or the stresses that are on us or the difficulties that we're experiencing. Oh, Lord, have mercy on us. Help us in our need to develop in us this quality that you say in your scripture is so important. I pray, Father God, that we would be able to develop long fuses for the sake of awaiting Christ's return, for the sake of how we love our brothers and sisters in Christ, and for the sake of what we demonstrate to others because they're watching. Thank you, Father God, for your patience with us. Even after salvation, you're so patient with us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.